Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl.
G'day, boys, and welcome to the Baller NRL Supercoach Podcast. My name's Jono, coach of Hungry for More. And on this week's episode, we are going to be taking you through the premium Supercoach players, those guys 600K and above, to talk you through the ones we think are important for your team and maybe the ones you can avoid. To help me do it are two premium Supercoach experts. Geez, I normally introduce guests by rank, but I'm not sure what their ranks ended up last year. I'm just going to take a punt and say our first guest tonight is one of the best strategic thinkers in all of Supercoach. He's a former third place overall finisher. He's the coach of Casa Bonitas, Danny Boy.
Hello, Jono. Yep, top 1,000. Thank you very much last year. I'm a little bit insulted you thought that me and Jews were battling it out for the fifth contributor. Last place. But no, very good. Trying to absorb all this news coming out this morning. I've woken up to a plethora of information and messages and, yeah, just trying to play catch up at the moment.
Yeah, you would have been bombarded by it just waking up this morning in England and just seeing that Supercoach have announced or cleared up the clarification around the runs, although some people maybe don't feel it's so cleared up. I think we do. But, yeah, big bombardment of info for you, Danny Boy. All right, let's get to our second expert. And he is the salt and the spice he takes, the prince of pods, the coach of tubes pods. Tubes! How are you, Dommy?
Look, I was pretty good. I don't know about Dan's little opening stray line there. All I'm going to say to that is I did beat him the year before. And the big news.
That's false. It is.
It's 100% true. I'll get the stats and put it in the Discord later to prove it. But all I'm going to say is, Dan, you might not have digested this yet, but the beauty of the rule changes and the things that have come in, it's gone back. It's like old has become new again. And the last time you were relevant in Supercoach was back when it was about the meat and potato forwards. And so you could be on for a good year this year.
We're back. We're absolutely back. Like it follows just, you know, looking at the data, meat and potatoes, tackles, runs. Like it makes it very much easier this year. Lots less variability in those captains. You know, I think big one is Payne Haas is going to be majorly captain, particularly over the first few rounds as well.
Yeah, I feel a bit silly. I was rubbishing this whole just lock in Payne Haas. Now it looks more and more
likely. I'm disappointed because I thought Supercoach, there was so much more volatility with halfbacks and fullbacks being the ultra premiums, the guys you wanted to captain. So, look, it feels like it's gone back to the dark ages a little bit, but I don't think it'll change a huge amount. Maybe it helps, you know, some pod captains for the year. So we'll see.
Fellas, I'm going to skip ahead because I like where you're going. Let's just jump straight to this week's Baller Blueprint, and then we'll get back into a bit of housekeeping afterwards. So it has officially been sorted out, the big drama around the runs and how they were going to be calculated. Supercoach have officially come out and cleared it up. They basically said that a run is going to be recorded when a ball carrier advances into or through the defensive line. So it's not just going to be a case of Nathan Cleary catches it, runs two steps forward, dishes and gets a point. You do have to actually get into the defensive line or beat defenders for it to count as a run. What that effectively means is kind of what Matt and I were originally referring to on our emergency pod from Thursday last week, which is that the big losers here are going to be your fullbacks and your halfbacks. They're going to be the ones who probably stand to lose the most. And our big winners are those meat and potato front row forwards that you guys were alluding to, as well as our centres who are now going to get those try assists that come off the fullbacks. So we can start building our teams with that in mind. Tubes, what's your just general reaction now that everything's sorted out? How's your head feeling about all these stat changes?
I feel good. I didn't ride this volatility of all this drama. I'm just happy that we can sort of move forward and it makes it a clean-cut decision of what I think you thought it was going to be when it was announced last Wednesday or Thursday. I do think it definitely changes my whole thoughts from the pod from last week about team structure. Definitely looking more mid-rangers and then cheapies in those halves and fullback spots. I also think that it will be the rise of the 80-minute tackling hooker again, a la like a Reid Marnie, etc.
Yeah, Danny boy, what are your thoughts and feelings? Have you made any changes to your Supercoach squad already this morning with all this stuff in mind?
Look, as we're doing the pod, I'm currently updating it. So, yeah, didn't have much time to change it this morning. I really think everyone's going on about these value picks at centre wing, and you've got to pick up these premium guys who are bumping up. I think historically, when you look back to the old days as well, it was about getting cheapies in centre wing, and I think that's still going to be the case. And I'm probably looking at picking up value at centre wing for those mid-rangers because I think it's still all about getting centre wings, try scorers who go on hot runs. Like they may average quite well over the season, but you'll look at someone like a Herbie Farnworth or Val Holmes and they'll have a hot streak of games and that's really when you want to get on them. So I'm not necessarily picking up the premium guys at centre wing to start the year just because they're a little bit of value.
I couldn't disagree more though. Like, and we're obviously going to...
That's why I said it, really.
Not that I'm against your strategy, but and we're it's a great pod because we're talking premiums tonight, but my thoughts is you have to spend your money somewhere. And so you have to, like, as in the points now is you're not going to be getting those gun fullbacks and those gun halfbacks, I think, to start the year because even if they outperform what they're expected to, they're still likely going to go down. So you got to figure out where you're spending your money. And I think it makes sense to do that with some of these gun center wings. And I'm not saying get seven, but I think you're getting four, whereas at best probably before we were getting two.
Well, no, I don't think even with before the rule changes, people were still looking at three or four at least gun center wings. So I don't think it's changed that much. I just think it's going to be big boy season. Like you want the 600K plus stacking out your front row forward, second row forward. A lot of people now will look for the flex position, chucking a second row or a front row forward in there.
All right. Fellas, love that. I just enjoyed it. It was like watching a tennis match, you two going back and forth there. If you enjoy all that kind of Supercoach discussion, please come and join us in the Discord. If you want to hear more of that kind of chat, baller.live/Discord, B-A-L-L-R. It's incredibly easy to sign up. The numbers have just been skyrocketing in that Discord over the last couple of weeks since the pod's come back, and we love having a chat with people. And a big shout-out to people from our community who tried to help out with stats ahead of the pod. So I know Al Mack, who's a regular contributor to the pod, he gave us some good stats with the stat changes. Realm's always a big presence in there, and he gave us some extra info as well. So shout-out to those guys. And, yeah, please come and join us, have a chat. Chuck your teams in there. Team advice, it's officially reopened. We had shut down giving official team advice until we got some clarification. It's there now, so chuck your teams in and we look forward to talking a bit of Supercoach. If you also want to just help support the podcast and support Baller in general, please do get in there and give us a big follow on all those socials. You can search Baller NRL on X, Facebook and Instagram and Baller Supercoach on TikTok and YouTube. Give us some likes. Subscribe, do all that good stuff and help us grow and grow like we have been. We really appreciate it. All right, fellas, before we get into our premium pod, we are just going to have a quick overview of the team list Tuesday. It's our first big one this weekend. Let's get into some of just those key players. And a lot of the focus is going to be on these kind of cheapies with some big names thrown in. First of all, out of the Finns, Selwyn Cobbo named in the centres. That's due to Jake Averillo being named at fullback with no hammer in that team. So we'll just have to wait and see how that pans out. I mean, that would mean that if that happened, Cobbo would play right centre. I think we'd rather him, fellas, on the left wing. Would you agree, Tubes, even with the centre thing in mind with extra assists?
100%. If Cobbo's named in the centres, I won't start him. But obviously, as I've said on previous pods, he's in consideration on that left wing.
Tommy Flegler, I don't want to say too much. We'll see how his role pans out. It's just great to see him named off the bench for the Finns. And obviously, if he comes into a starting spot with the meat and potatoes being back, he will get a big consideration. We'll talk more about him in future episodes. Danny boy, Cooper Bye, young gun, 19 years old, named to start in a weakened squad there for the Titans at lock. I mean, we don't know how his role is going to pan out, but it's nice to see him in a starting position as a potential cheapie, hey?
Yeah, it is. He came off the bench last year, I believe, for a few starts, middle forward. We said earlier pods this year, they could be potential issues coming off the bench, and it is a weakened pack. There's a lot of people to come in there. They have named the likes of Mo Fotuaker starting, but there's a lot of unknown names in there and a lot of exclusions. So, look, I still think he'll be a bench middle coming off the off the bench for the Titans coming round one. And I think it'll be him and my man Ryan Couchman battling out for my sixth second row forward position.
For the Storm, Lasardi is a popular cheapie as well in the second row forward spot there. Lasardi has named to start on an edge for the Storm this week with Trent Liero at lock. Now, the only reason that's interesting is there was a chatter that maybe Lasardi might start at lock while Liero is suspended for the first couple of weeks. It does seem with him being named there that the plan is for Lasardi to be their edge player. I don't think we need to comment too much more on that, but I think he's a must-have if he does get that starting spot for round one. One big one out of the Cowboys, Tubes, we spoke about this on the Sunday Snap, about this whole Purdue thing. He played in the halves on the weekend. We agreed that Clifford outpointed him in that game. Tommy Dearden's back, and Clifford's been named at half with Purdue in the centres. Tube, that's caused a big shift in your Supercoach team.
Yeah, so I think with the announcement today that we talked about, genuine 5/8s are going to be overvalued. Because of the everything to do with the try assist and losing all of that. So where you're going to save money is by trying to find either cheap 5/8s or people that aren't actually 5/8s. So Purdue playing left center, he's going to get a bump. We all know he's a genuine gun. He was one of the best center wings going around when he did play in the centers last year with Clifford and Dearden. And if this lineup, which it looks like it is given it's the last trial, is what they're going to start with, 557K, I think he is, straight in as my starting 5/8 ahead of Dylan Brown, if Brown's even named it.
Tubes, here's how much I like it. You shouldn't have said it on the pod. That's how much I like it. You should have kept that for Tubes pods for the extra Supercoach team. I think there's a big shout there, Tubes, that if Dylan Brown doesn't get dual, which we'll discuss in a moment, Purdue's going to become one of the most popular, if not the most popular 5/8, I reckon, behind Jonah Pezzett, obviously, is a cheapie. Danny Boy, Purdue burnt you a couple of times last year. What are you thinking about him?
Yeah, he burnt me, but from what I saw of him, enough to bring him into my side, and then for him to get changed to 5/8 and it all go downhill from there. I'm very hot on Purdue if he's named in centres to start the year. I think he's got to be there. I think he was electric. I think him and Fletcher Sharp were two of my favourite players to watch last year. And if he's in the centre spot, I think he's that, you know, it is a bit of a toss-up head-to-head with him and Dylan Brown if Dylan Brown gets the duel, but certainly could see him in my side come round one.
Might be a why not both situation, Chib. Just saying you've got to spend the money somewhere. Maybe look at having both in.
Who Possibly, knows? Yeah. For a good swing for that centre wing rotation. You wouldn't put both of them at 5/8, but yeah, certainly both of them in a team would be all right.
With that news, though, of Purdue into the centres, not looking great for Chester, who is a very popular player at the moment. He's available at both fullback and centre wing. Some people are even chatting about having as their fullback two in their teams, including Matt. He has not been named this week, still out with his injury. I think it's got to put his round one position now massively at risk. They've got Zachy Labor there. Vay Lea is still sniffing around as well. I think that the risk now with Chester is that he might become a number 14, 18 or 19 for round one, which for me, he would not be. That's not the kind of thing you stash. You don't want a guy coming on being an AE nightmare. So very much a big watch. Speaking of centre wing cheapies, Macassini for the West Tigers is a pretty popular name to start. Maybe a bad thing, though. It's a very understrength Tigers team. The Knights trio is pretty interesting, fellas. We spoke about this, Tubes, on the Sunday Snap as well, about what's going on there. With the team this week, Sharp's named at fullback, Dillbags named at 5/8, Sandon at half. Tubes, I kind of originally just went, oh, look, that's what it is. Sharp's not there. Sandon's in front. You made a really good point to me when we spoke about that earlier today.
Was that the Ponga's out, so Sharp's just being picked at fullback, and so that doesn't mean anything. I also think that these are trials, so I think that Holbrook came out a couple of weeks ago and said they'll both get a crack at a run with Dylan Brown. So okay. I imagine Sharp will go to 5/8 or halfback, whatever they're going to put him in. We're not going to really know, but he'll go into the halves for the second half or the second stint, and Fletcher Hunt will go back to fullback during that period of time is what I guess is going to happen. The only thing that potentially it flags is, what if KP is in doubt for round one, like, and they want to get set sharps and run at fullback? Might be, might not be, don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's definitely just a big wait and see. The Knights forward pack had some interesting things. Trey Mooney not named. Couldn't see any information about why he's not named in what looks to be a near full strength squad. I mean, it's obviously not a form thing. Maybe he has a lingering injury that they just want to keep an eye on. Let's hope that's nothing too serious. And one of our most intriguing players from last week, Jermaine McEwen, he's actually been named to come off the bench with Tommy Cant starting ahead of him. So that's going to put a lot of people off McEwen as he was in their plans. Danny Boyd, Chews mentioned these 80-minute tackling forwards. I noted that Hayward for the Doggies was named to start at hooker. A lot of chatter about maybe Jake Turpin being named on that bench. He was in the extended. It's a pretty strong team. Even with Kurt Mann on the bench, Danny Boy, could Hayward be an option if he looks like getting that starting role?
No, not at all. He's, you look back at his 80-minute games at back end of last year, he's not a base man. I think you've got to put a line, particularly because you've got what Salmon can play hooker, you've got Turpin potentially on the bench, Kurt Mann can play hooker as well. I think he's an out-and-out half. So I think it's a bit of a stopgap for Hayward to be in hooker, and I don't think he'll be there at the end of the season even. But from a Supercoach perspective, you're not going near him, I don't think. McEwen, I think, was a late out last week in the trial
ankle
as
injury.
Well. So I think he's probably just getting eased back in. I would expect him to be named at second row if he's fully fit, starting second row for come round one.
On to some of these Dragons boys. Setu too looks to have won the spot there on the Dragons wing. So he's starting on the wing spot in a full strength back line. Farley and Sloan are both on the extended. So that's great news. He's just over 200K, looks to have a super coach friendly game. If he holds that spot, which it looks like he will, he would almost be a good option to play straight off the bat in Vegas with the way his game looks, depending on the makeup of your squad. Danny Boy, your man Ryan Couchman was named off the bench, unfortunately, with Luciano Leilua starting. Two questions for you. What are your thoughts on that? And secondly, what do you think of the nickname Rouchy for Ryan Couchman as the president of the Ryan Couchman fan club?
I think it's the best nickname is still to come. I don't think Rouchy will stick long term. But in terms of him being off the bench, I actually expect him to be named off the bench round one if he's going to be in the team. Flano last year, I mean, you talked about it on previous pods, how much I deep dived onto the Couchman boys started last year. I think he loves a guy who comes off the bench, can play the hybrid role of the middle and the edge. And I would expect either Luciano starting, coming off after 20, someone coming on for that edge spot, and then Luciano coming back on later in the game and that edge guy going through the middle rotation. So that's what they were doing last year's trials. I expect someone to do it. Dylan Egan would be the other option to do that, but he's not there until round 10. So my expectation is if Ryan Couchman is named in that first four off the bench next come round one, he's likely to play 40 to 45 minutes at least.
So still a good option at the price. Middle.
Still a good option being basement price, 230K.
I think Chews and I are both in agreement. We're nodding along. So I think we all like Rouchy.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Great analysis, but you got to lean into Rouchy.
Comment. Stop being a wet blanket. He's Rouchy. Rouchy and Touchy. Yeah. Get on board.
I don't know.
Chiefs and I just aren't going to let it go on the Sunday snap every week. So it's just going to become ingrained. All right, Chiefs, any other thoughts on the trial teams before we move on to the premiums?
The only one that I thought that you didn't mention that interests me was back in that Cowboys starting pack. It looks like a pretty much full pack, and they have actually named your boy Helam Lukey and McIntyre on both edges, and Bateman's been named on the bench. So I think, again, it's a bit of a watch and see what happens here, but I think that's a nice nod towards a Lukey and possibly a McIntyre being in that back row spot, and one of them will be likely be an 80-minute player. I think Lukey has some great stats, as we talked about on the snap, but I also see him being a big worker in terms of third man in tackler, so could benefit from the stats change.
All right, I like that. I just can't believe I glossed over Lukey. That's just a huge miss for me. Thank you for picking that back up, because he's big chance of being in my squad come round one. Fellas, let's get into our actual premium player breakdown now. We're going to go through positionally, talking about the ones that matter the most, and maybe giving some recommendations on, who to have, who to avoid. We're just looking at players 600K and above. Next week, we're going to do a mid-range special. So do know that we are going to get to all those favourite mid-ranges that people have out there. But at hooker, there's really only two to discuss. There's Blake Brayley and Harry Grant. Now, Harry Grant, we talked about Danny Boyd already on our must-haves pod a couple of weeks ago. So if people want analysis on him, that's a good place to go. With these stat changes, though, he's even better than what we said in that pod. He's now, the way it's worked, on the new stats, he would be averaging 4.7 points per game better than what he already was last year. So he's already, you know, nearly 40K undervalued there. Do we all just agree that he is just a must-have, lock him into your team, no questions asked?
Yes, we do, Jono. That's it. It's flat out. 50K cheaper than Brayley, 5% increase on last year. Shout out to, I think Realms provided the new stats for us this with the updated changes. So, yeah, Harry Grant, lock him in the team. I think he'll be very highly owned, you know, possibly 70% plus.
All right. And, Blake Brayley, look, I was really impressed by his running game in the second half of last year. I don't think he's a terrible option, but I tend to agree with Tubes. You get a Harry Grant in there, and then you look at maybe if you want to go your second hooker, maybe as an 80-minute tackler, maybe you do brush the cheese now, who's a cheapie. Tubes, is there any case for Blake Brayley with that increased running game he showed for the second half of last year that he's underpriced as well?
Look, there's a case for him. It would be a pod move, and that's probably as good a case as I can make. He obviously... He's in this premium range at 657K for a reason. The Sharks did look at structuring a lot more of their attack to go through him. The Sharks pack is unbelievable again this year.
So good.
Led by AFB. I love it when Tommy Hazelton comes off the bench. They just start rolling through teams and Brayley gets off the back of that. I do think that he'll be a last pass merchant again to keep setting up tries. And as we saw last year, he has those big scores in him, which he previously didn't. Would he have – he certainly has the upside to not only match but exceed Harry Grant. It's just hard to see at 50K cheaper if they have similar roles that you won't go Harry over him. But, I mean, we still got to wait and see those round one teams. Like, I would probably – you could look at leaning Brayley over Harry if Harry has a, you know, a – another hooker on the bench, or you're a little bit worried he's only going to get 60, 65 minutes, whereas Brayley's a bit of a lock for 80.
Oh, he's one of the most dependable players in the whole comp, Brayley. Like, I can't even recall him missing many games for the Sharks. I don't really think the Storm have any hookers unless you think that this year the Wisharts. Yeah, Garland, like unless he's
Garland's
suddenly.
Pies?
He's Rabbitohs now.
He's off.
Cheesy garlic pizza. They're back together.
He was part of the luring of Payne Haas with the Garlo's connection.
Loves the Garlo pie. Look, yeah, I think Wishy would be an option because, maybe with this six-man bench thing as well. I think Harry's going to benefit from it. I can't see it changing. And we'd say Harry had a down year last year. You know, and so I think it's going to revert back to his normal elite status. And good points about Brayley, though. Good points.
I was trying to play a bit of devil's advocate there, boys. That's all.
If Sharks do really well, he will be a big beneficiary for sure. So, yeah, could I think looking at the ownership numbers, if you want to go pod, if Harry Grant is so highly owned, Brayley's an answer.
Let's get into the front row forward now. And this also includes the guys who are second row forward dual with this wrap-up. Look, the highest price one, he's incredibly highly owned. It's Payne Haas. With the new stat changes, his average last year was an 87.2. It goes up to a 90.4 based on the big deep dive that producer Gramsy's done for us. That's a difference of 3.2 points. Look, I just can't see a case against him anymore. Tubes, I know you did take a big look at laying him earlier in the year. You thought maybe you could get that value elsewhere. With this now, he just becomes a huge captaincy option every single week for the rest of the year, at least until Origin. Tubes, are you still thinking about making a case against him, or is he just locked in now?
For me, he's locked in. The case against, and Grams is writing it in the chat while we're talking, is he obviously had a big offload year again, last year, sorry, for the first, like it was his biggest offload year ever. It was an outlier. I think you can put that down, though, to Maguire's coaching style and what he allowed him to do. Yeah. But even if you didn't, say he put away the offload a little bit, I think it's a few points that it reduces per game. And I just think what I said before, you got to spend your money somewhere. You're not spending it on a 900K fullback or an 800K fullback, or you're not bringing in, or I'm not certainly bringing in a Cleary to start the year, et cetera, now. And I think so, why would you not be spending 850K on Payne Haas, who has the best floor, who's now getting an increase? Why would you match that against, say, a Tedesco or a Reece Walsh, who's starting the year at a disadvantage with the changes in stats?
Danny Boy, do you have any Payne Haas thoughts before we move on to the other front rowers?
Not really. It's a very safe option, very safe captain option. He'll be in your tight. You're locking him in to basically be there for the whole year. I think that's what you've got to consider when you're talking about premiums, is you're probably bringing in premiums who you think are just absolute lockaways, at least till Origin or injury. And Payne Haas, you can't really do much better than him.
Well, could you with our – oh, sorry, Chips, go.
Sorry, Jono. One more point I just thought of, and this came through the Discord, and that was someone was discussing – Payne misses a lot in Origin this year. So he's misses five games. So you can't really carry him through the Origin period. So that actually builds a stronger case in my mind to start with him, because if you lay him, you're not going to want to be bringing him in round six, seven or eight just for a few weeks before the Origin period. And imagine not owning Payne Haas until round 19 or 20 in your team. It just
doesn't feel
unfathomable.
Right.
So yeah. I think that if anything means that you start him to start the year.
Terrell May is one potentially who could take on Payne Haas if you're looking to go more pod. He is certainly under-owned compared to what his output was last year. And of all the front row forwards in Supercoach, he's the man who loves the third man in tackle the most. He has the biggest difference of anyone. We said Payne Haas was a difference in 3.2 points per game. Terrell May, it's 5.7 points. His average goes up to an 88.7 from what it was at 83 last year. The case against is, number one, he's got the bye in round one. It's never nice to see such an expensive man on the bye. Obviously, they all have him at some point, but never feels right having someone who's that expensive on the bye. The other thing that I thought was interesting, producer Gramsy has just put into our chat as we're potting, Terrell May recently said he'd be playing around 60 minutes or so this year. I don't know where that source has come from for Gramsy or what the accuracy is there, but if he was only getting 60 minutes, that's a bit scary too. Danny Boy, what do you think about Terrell May?
I think that a lot comes out of Terrell May's mouth. I think he, like, not bad stuff. I think he's very open. He's got his own Twitch channel, I think. He games, he says a lot. So, and usually he's pretty honest with what he says as well. So that is quite concerning. There would have been an argument to say Terrell May instead of Payne Haas if he was playing round one. It just really throws that off. Too much uncertainty, even with teams not being named. So the Tigers won't be named for that round one. So you don't actually know how their bench makeup's going to be, what it's going to look like. So look, it's a risky thing to take Terrell May, and I'll be steering clear. But on the new system, he looks like he's the biggest beneficiary at over at nearly, I think, 6% increase. So maybe give it a couple of rounds. I think he's not Origin as well. They don't like him for some reason. So might be a good switch for Payne Haas during that the Origin period.
I'm going to group our next two together because for me the potential negatives for them are pretty similar. Joey Tapine and Adam Fanua-Blake. They're obviously both really good players. There's no argument against that. They're probably two of the top five front rowers in the world. Last year, Adam Fanua-Blake averaged 65.3. He goes up with the new stat changes 2.5 points per game. Joey Tapine last year averaged 71.8. He goes up just over 2 points per game. So the numbers are nice. For me, fellas, the case against both is that their minutes are very up and down. As far as front row forwards go, there's a lot of inconsistency. Joey Tapine played 7 games that were sub 50 minutes last year. Often Ricky, if they were comfortable, the Raiders, he'd take him off the field. And AFB was similar. He had 9 games sub 50 minutes last year and then 6 games 60+. And it seemed the same thing. You guys obviously watch the Sharks a lot more closely than me. And Danny Boy, if I'm remembering correctly, you owned AFB for a stretch last year. It just felt like when the Sharkies were on top, they reduced his minutes. When they played a good team or the game was close, they'd extend him out. What are your thoughts, Danny Boy? Is that minutes thing a concern?
He was 100% injured last year.
Okay.
So I can guarantee you he had a back injury that he was managing. So I completely understand taking him off early when either games are in the bag or, he was looking to slow down a little bit. I'm actually really interested in AFB with these new rule changes. Like, I could see myself starting Haas and AFB in the front. Sharks have a decent draw to start. If they've got their rolling pack going, he is an absolute try merchant. He was down on his tries last year. He was down on his work rate. That might be because Sharky spread the load a little bit better. But I think he's one of the guys that could get off to a flyer. I think it was last year, a lot of people didn't start with him and a lot of people were trying to bring him early because he got a couple of tries. So, yeah, it could be. He's a big, big watch for me.
Chiefs?
Yeah, look, I like all the AFB things. I don't know. I don't think I could start with him. I know that we talked about it being a big boy season again, but I just think if you're having Haas, I can't be spending more than 600K or more on my second front row forward to start the year. I just can't think of how I make the team up in that particular way. I'll be looking for one of those mid-rangers or cheapies to fill it out. And I just think that there's a lot of risk that's associated with those. So I think the choice is Haas or May. And as we said before, there's a lot against May. He averaged 73 minutes last year. Haas only averaged 60. So there's really probably not going up for May from that side of things. The only other thing I'll probably say is I will own AFB at some point this year for all the reasons Dan just said. And I wouldn't be shocked if his minutes just exploded to start the year with this new 6-man bench. But I'm happy to sit and wait and then get him in throughout the year.
I think that 6-man bench is a really good point. You've both made a really good case for AFB. I'm a little bit convinced. I do think the strength of the Sharkies pack also just, I know what you're saying with 6-man benches. I just don't think there's any need to play him big minutes. I think the Sharks are in the premiership winning game this year. That's what they'd be striving for. So no need to burn him out. But I think you guys have made a really good case that I'm going to consider. The last one that I wanted to mention is Keon Koloamatangi for the Rabbitohs, who I've heard a few people saying he's coming in underpriced at 666K. Now, of all these guys on the list, he has the second biggest difference in terms of how the new stat change helps him. He goes up 4.6 points per game. Now, the case for me against him is last year he averaged 75 minutes a game, and that included both time on the edge and in the middle. Wayne Bennett was on the record a couple of times saying he didn't want to be playing Koloamatangi that many minutes. He didn't want to do that. He had to do that because of all South's injuries. I think this year with guys like Adam Elliott coming in, Dave Feeder, Cam Murray back from injury, I just don't think Souths are going to play him huge minutes to justify spending that much on a second front row forward. So for me, even though it does look like he's underpriced with that points differential, I'm just not quite convinced the role is going to be there. I think he's fairly priced. Do either of you want to push back on that at all?
No, not particularly. I can't. I just think that it's last year was a different year. If he does play 80, it'll be on the edge. I don't think he's playing 80 through the middle, and that's what makes him a relevant super coach or, a super coach premium player.
All right. Yeah. Fellas, anyone else from that list of front rowers there that I haven't brought up that you wanted to discuss? If not, we can move straight on to the pure second row forwards.
Jack Williams.
Not really. This,
Jack Williams.
I just wanted to make a case. I hope he can hold on to the ball this year. And last year was an outlier season in my opinion. I don't want him to catch too many strays, but I certainly would not be starting him. And that Eels pack looks way up in the air at 610K. He's overpriced.
All right, let's get to the pure second row forwards then. Danny Boy, you spoke a couple of weeks ago about Hudson Young and the stack, the Ethan Strange Hudson Young stack. Obviously, since their news has come out that they're going to be playing on opposite sides of the field, he looks to be underpriced with the new stat changes, just under 4 points a game. Are you still looking at Huddy Young as an option in your team?
Yeah, definitely. The reason is I think he can go on an attacking tear. So it is still Supercoach, even though the average is reflective of how they are as an overall player. You've got to look at the guys with the high upside, so the high ceilings. And if you're looking across the board at second row, Hudson Young potentially has the highest ceiling of them all, just for his involvement, the try potential that he has. We know he's going to play 80 minutes. He's the absolute weapon of attack on that left edge for the Raiders. So, yeah, it certainly could start with him. I wouldn't disagree. The price is high. It's just you've got to look at team balance across the board. But, yeah, definitely an option to start the year.
Tubes, could you start with Hudson Young? We haven't spoken much about him this year on the pods.
I don't think so. It'd be so pod. He had such a career year last year. I just can't see how he can keep it going. I kept saying that at the start of year last year as well. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I feel like the smart play is to let him go, and look for a bit cheaper premium second row forward.
Dylan Lucas interests me. He feels really under-discussed. His difference with these new stat changes is massive. He is the biggest one we've spoken about so far. He goes up by 5.7 points a game. Until he had that injury last year, he was the best second row forward in all Supercoach. I think he's clear and away the best forward in that Knights pack. There's no way he's not playing 80 every single week with the way that pack's set up. He's a massive pod, Tubes.
Massive. I love him. I'm trying to figure out a play. We're going to talk about a couple other people that I love in this second row forward, and I think that's part of the problem. But I really like the idea. Like, he plays that left edge role. We know KP loves going left. Where obviously we'll find out which side Dylan Brown's going to be playing, but I think you were making a case that he loves the left edge as well, Jono, from memory on the Sunday snap. And so I just think that Dylan Lucas, a lot of attack is going to go through him, and he runs such a great line. He's locked in for 80 minutes, and we know he's a base stat beast. So, like, yeah, if it's between him and Hudson Young, I'll be locking in Dylan Lucas at that similar price point.
Danny boy, that Chiefs has excited me a lot there. What do you think about Dylan Lucas?
Yeah, look, if Dylan Lucas played for any other team but the Knights, I think he's the first premium pick in second row. I have a lot of concerns over picking a lot of Knights players to start the year, because although their backline looks, you know, superb, but it's still not set. The balance, I don't think, is there yet. And then the forward pack is probably the biggest concern of them all. So, look, Jermaine McEwen, Trey Mooney, Dylan Brown, Dylan Lucas. Like, I just can't take that many Knights. So I think there's value picks there. I think he's the ultra premium, but I'm probably going to avoid to start the year.
The last thing that, as Tubes is talking about, that Dylan Brown combo, and Danny Boy, by the way, they are really good points. It has cooled my jets a little bit, but I'm still feeling pretty excited. The Dylan Brown, remember Dylan Brown for a year made Sean Lane look like an absolute weapon on that left edge for the Eels? Uh-huh. There's a big case there that Dylan Brown's the best half that's ever played inside Dylan Lucas. So maybe the Dillies, as they call themselves, the Dillies might be a great little stack this year. I like it.
Did you say maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe what?
Maybe he's the best half that's ever played inside Dylan Lucas. Like, I don't know many other. Anyway, I think he's far and away the best half that's ever.
You don't have Jack Cogger's. Jack Cogger's not in the conversation, Chips. Yep. All right,
it's just on that point. It's like there's so many chefs that can cook on that left side. Like, you know, is Dylan Lucas the target man potentially? But like, there's plenty of options to go to on that left edge. So it is a bit of pick your chef.
All right, well, let's get on to a couple of these other second row forwards. So many chef references this episode. Jacob Preston, look, I don't want to talk about him too much. If you want to hear the case about Jacob Preston for and against, go back and listen to our most intriguing pod where Tubes had him as a big discussion point. He now, with these stat changes, 3.7 points per game undervalued. Tino Fasua Malawi is an interesting one. Of all these forwards, he hasn't risen that much. He's only kind of undervalued by 0.2 points a game. I don't know. Matt suggested maybe he lost a couple of try assists, which is a fair point. He also just might not be a big third man in tackler. He just hits him first and hard and early and says, good night, nurse. If he gets the dual, fellas, because at the moment he's second row forward only, if he gets the dual, would you take a bigger look at Tino, Dan?
Yeah, like if you're, you know, regardless of the points differentials for, on last year, I don't think you can just base purely on last year's stats, particularly with Tino. He was playing injured for a lot of it. I think he had that knee injury and then came back. He is, if anyone's an alpha dog in a pack, it is Tino for the Titans. So, yeah, certainly could be a little bit of value at under 700K. And if you're going to take on Payne Haas, I'd probably look towards Tino to do it, particularly if he gets that dual front row, second row.
Tubes, quick thoughts on Tino?
Oh, I love him. I don't think I can start with him. Maybe if he gets the dual, but as I said before, I'm not taking on Haas. Now, probably my only thoughts on him is I reckon he doesn't get the increase from the third man in is because – like when he hits, it always hurts him. So like they just give him the tackle. Like they're just too scared of not giving Tino a tackle. Like geez, you'd feel it if Tino hit you ever. So I'm happy to not be running out against
him.
I
think he's a team man as well. He doesn't stat pad. He doesn't need that third man. Like once a tackle's done, he'll get back, be the first one up in the line. So good on you, Tino. Well done.
All right, I want to get to two that I think I want to try and find a way to get both. Isaiah Yeo, I don't want to talk about too much because he's been well discussed. He pretty much stands to benefit from this stat changes more than anyone. We had him, Danny Boy, both of us, as a must-have in our must-haves pod from a couple of weeks ago, and that was before this came in. We already thought he was undervalued based on previous seasons. Now he loves a third-man tackle, Isaiah Yeo, not because he's a stat padder, Danny Boy, because he wants to help his team win. But he is now underpriced by 6.1 points per game based on producer Graham's research. It's massive. It's the most of any of these relevant second row forwards, front row forwards. It's a huge difference. So I just think he's a must-have. Angus Crichton's interesting as well. I thought that he wouldn't be a big beneficiary of a lot of this stuff. He's underpriced by 4.6 points per game. What I want to hear from you, fellas, is I'm looking at the moment running both of those guys plus David Fifita, just because I think those two are so undervalued both based on role and stat changes. Fifita's a clear must-have. Is that too much money, Dan, to be spending in my second row forward?
No, I think that'll be the most popular trio to start for the second rows. If any listeners want to go back to the, what was that? The most, the first fine. must-have? Yeah, I would like them to check out if me and you, Jono, picked him up as that number one. Yeah, I love Yeo. I think he had a bit of a down year last year. He's going to be absolute leader of that pack. 80 minutes, we've said the six-man bench will benefit him greatly. Great value. Probably going to rise up 100, 150K pre-origin. So lock him in.
Jeeves, you seem pretty on board.
I mean, I am. I would like to say it's good to get a retro clip me up from a few weeks ago before any ball's even been passed yet, Dad. Like, you're already claiming it from a few weeks ago. They haven't even actually done anything yet.
One, yes, I did pick up Isaiah Yeo before they'd even changed the rule changes, and it has greatly benefited me, these rule changes, with my Isaiah Yeo reference. I was more saying that Jono's now claiming him as his as well, so...
Dan, I'll clarify that, yes, he was on your five-man list of must-have players, but I, in the episode, and if you want to go back and clip it up, I agreed with you and said, he's in my team, I agreed with you, he's a must-have, but I'll give you the full credit, he was on your list of five players, and you put him on my radar.
Sure, yeah. And Gus Bus was yours, I think, Tubes. You were a big Gus Bus fan.
Look, I don't remember what happened yesterday, let alone 3 weeks ago on a podcast. So well done to both of you. I'm sure we can clip it up later in the season. I will say for both, they are currently both in my team. And I agree with Dan that that'll be a popular trio. I'm a little bit tempted to think about taking on Angus Crichton just because of how popular that's going to be. I don't think you can take on Yo for all the reasons we've mentioned previously. And I've given my case for a Dylan Lucas at that ultra premium sort of range. But that's probably the only case against is just now how popular they're going to be as those 600K players.
Just one quick one, and I wouldn't mind if you guys have anyone that you want to talk about, I'll throw to you afterwards. But one that I just want to have a quick mention is Kai Piss-Paul, KPP, who's going over to the Tigers this year. I thought that the second half of last year, he really opened up his game. He'd been heralded as having a big offload. We did finally start to see it at the Knights in the second half of last year. Kind of coincided with him signing with the Tigers. I don't know if he just wanted to stop listening to Adam O'Brien or Aidan O'Brien, as you call him, Tubes, and he just didn't care anymore and he started offloading. But I think he's one to watch. He's undervalued by 5.6 points a game, which is pretty big. He should be an 80-minute player there for the Tigers. Danny Boy, any other second row forwards you want to quickly touch on before we move on to our next position?
No, I think you just made a good point about KPP, though. I think he is, his third year into his NRL career, like he's going to be up to speed. He obviously does like an offload, and I do agree that AOB was probably limiting the offloads for the Knights in general. I feel like Benji will encourage that even further. Like, I think Benji really opens up to that sort of attacking flair. So he's a huge pod, just unfortunately he's going to be on the bye. Otherwise, haven't really looked at other second
rowers.
No,
don't need to force it, Dan. Yep, if you don't have anyone, that's fine. Good. Tubes, anyone?
Oh, I feel almost a bit embarrassed just bringing it up because there's no way I'm starting in him. But Matty Nicholson is, based off the stats from last year with the changes, he's a big third man in, boy, typical Pom, 6.6 points per game. In addition to last year. So if you're purely looking at those numbers, you might think about bringing him in.
Yeah, he's worth a look depending on how that all pans out. He may even come off the bench, but if he's starting, I don't mind that call.
Got to be wary on that, Jono, just to interrupt, because Zach Hoskin was injured for a lot of last year. And we know Zach is one of Ricky's boys and they could job share a lot on that edge.
The chat is, though, Danny Boy, that Zach Hosking has been training at lock with Matty Nicholson, the starting row, and Josh Papali'i may be having a bit of a smaller role this year and coming off the bench. So there is chatter that the forward pack's moving.
Is that hot off the Clippers from your barber?
It's not, but I am going to the barber on Thursday. So by Sunday, snap, get ready for some hot off the Clippers, mate. I might even try and voice record him and get him on the pod. fellas, let's move down to halfback now. And look, basically as you go through this list, because of the new stat changes, all these guys are overpriced. So Nathan Cleary overpriced by 3.5 points a game. Nico Hines by 4.3. Jerome Hughes by 5.8. That was a big shock to see that come in so big. I'm just kind of interested of Tubes, first of all, are you just now completely put off starting with either of those Nathan Cleary, Nico Hines top-end premium guys?
I'm not completely put off. I think there is now the case that with the expected reaction that they could be criminally underowned, and you could make a case that guns are guns and they're gonna do well no matter what. Like even in this differential, Cleary's still averaging 81 based on last year's numbers. So getting in a guy that's getting 81, and obviously he started building combinations with Talagi and et cetera last year. He had a bit of an interrupted year. There's a case that he could go even better as that number one half, second year out from Jerome Luai. So I'm not completely ruling it out. I think what I'm ruling out is I'm definitely not going a dual gun halfback strategy like I was originally considering. But I will definitely still be picking one of these premium guys to start the year with. And ownership may come into play for me.
Danny Boy, happy for you to push back against Tubes if you want. But I also want to hear from you. If you are going to go a top-end halfback, whether it's Cleary, Hines, or someone else, is there anyone with these stat changes that you would look at still having as your number one premium?
there hasn't been enough. No one has really increased, so you can't look at the stats and say, oh, this guy looks value. I think it's more you've now got to look at the run for the halfbacks to start the year. So you've got to look at the draw, see if they're going to fire. Someone like a Jaden Campbell comes to mind. They've got some good day games and some good fixtures. He could go on a tear to start the year. I do think, and I agree with Jubes, that you could still pick up Cleary. I don't think it really matters on his draw sometimes. He can have some huge games against the good sides as well, particularly if Panthers are firing. The issue is I just don't think you can have more than two in your team that are worth over 800,000 just without really ruining the balance of your team, without bringing in too many unknowns into your starting 18 each week. And given that Haas, Herbie, these guys that their stats are just going through the roof and it looks like great value, I think most Supercoach players will lean towards those guys for their 800 plus picks.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jaden Campbell. He seems to be much less affected than some of these other halfbacks, probably because he has such a big base plus power game for as far as halves go. He's only minus 0.9 points per game. I know this isn't a big predictions pod. Danny Boy made one earlier with Haywood no longer being the Dogs' starting hooker by the end of the year. I'm just going to chuck out that I reckon Nathan Cleary is going to fire this year more than ever, and he's going to win himself a Dally M medal is my big prediction. I think they're going to come out really hot this year, the Panthers, with a point to prove. Let's jump down to the 5-8 spot now. And this is a tough spot. Chiefs, I'm just going to throw to you, of these premium guys, these 600K plus guys, is there anyone that you're putting big thought into starting with? Because they're all pretty much overvalued now, losing anywhere between, it seems to be for most of them, around 3 points a game plus at that position. Is there any premium ones you're even thinking about?
No, not looking at this list. I was considering a real pod play of Ethan Strange. If he had the kicking, we've talked about that. I don't love that he's now confirmed onto the right. I'm 100% certain I'll own Fletcher Sharp at some point during the season, but hopefully it will be bringing him in at a lot less than 730K. And as I said at the start of the pod, I think now you're paying premium money in other positions other than 5-8. So I'm going to be looking at either going cheap or, as I mentioned, like a mid-ranger like Dylan Brown or Purdue or something like that.
Danny Boy, you seem to be nodding along. You're in agreement with Tubes?
Yeah, it's just dire for those 5-8 premiums. Storm do have a good run, so you could get the flyer with Munster to start the season, but everyone else, I'm just going to wait and see. I think you're going down to those mid-ranges.
Well, let's jump into what is probably the most interesting position. This is where we start to see some big jumps due to the assist rule changing. So we've covered it a few times on the baller pods, but the sweep play is out. It's no longer most influential player. It's last passer. And we see that for so many of these big backline movements, the last passer is the center. So let's talk about these centers, fellas, and we'll chuck in a couple of wingers for good measure. Herbie Farnworth is 825K. He had a phenomenal season last year. But with these stat changes, it's even better. He's undervalued by 6.3 points per game. Based on that last year, he would have averaged 90 points a game. Tubes, you were talking to me. You made a couple of points about still looking at potentially fading Herbie. And I think you had some thoughts around just a guy coming off such a big career year with so many attacking stats. Where are you sitting on that at the moment?
Yeah, that went out the window. And I was thinking there was no way you could start with Herbie because of that potential for that regression, I think, as you mentioned, Jono. And I still think that you may get that regression. But to get this six-point padding for such a premium guy that you know can absolutely go on those runs, he was the best player in the game last year, and it wasn't really even close from a center wing perspective. I know you can look back and look at the averages, but just on a week-to-week basis, he was the one that you were scared of. Even when he actually went down injured, he was on track to get like nearly a 200-point game that week. so I think now with this 6.6, additional padding, even if he regresses a little bit to start the year, you would be still expecting that he should be going quite well. And I think that he's almost a must-have from a bring-in perspective, especially now that I'm not getting an 800K fullback.
And producer Gramsci has pointed out that with the adjusted averages, he would now be the highest averaging player in all the Supercoach. Danny Boy, you're our resident physio. There was chatter of a little hammy concern in the preseason. I do believe that Herbie himself rubbished that when he was asked by some people about it was just some precautionary icing. Big hammy tear last year. Does that give you any cause for pause when thinking about starting with Herbie this year?
Not really, because I'd expect if he hasn't had a recent hamstring injury, he's going to be fully fit or as fit as he can be. So, yes, he's at more risk of re-injuring that hamstring, but, you know, at the same time, if he's had a good preseason, that does not cause concern at all for bringing him in and starting. You know, a centre wing who has, on last year's stats, nearly 60 base plus power, you know, week to week. And Dolphins have a good draw. Like, he's possibly going to have someone like Cobbo on his outside, which is a bit more threat on his outside. And then to top it all off, he's getting more of these attacking stats with the try assists for the last pass. So, yeah, if you're going to block in someone over 800K, Herbie is a definite option. And I do like that stack if Selby Cobworth comes to the forefront and it's those two on the left edge.
Val Holmes is of a similar nature in terms of going up massively. He's going up with the adjusted stats, 6.5 points a game. Danny Boy, he came up in our must-have pod. I don't want to credit the wrong person, but I believe Matt had him as a must-have. I apologise if it was you, but I think we both agreed that we really liked him at the time. He last year didn't really have any huge outlier big scores. He didn't get that many attacking stats. It was his goal kicking and his base plus power that got him a really consistent scoreline. He, I think, for me, is a fantastic option. I don't think the Dragons are going to be a good team, but I do think that his value is there. I just think he's got a really set, consistent role. We know the player he is. Silky hands to set up his outside man. I've got him in my team as well as Herbie. What do you think, Danny Boy? Is it too much to have both?
I don't think it's too much to have both. I think you could have one or the other. You could definitely take on Herbie with Val Holmes. Such a consistent super coacher when he's fully fit. It's hard to really knock him, bringing him in, even at 730K. He can go on a tear in terms of his attacking stats as well. And just with the base to back that up, he's a sure pick to start the year with. As you said, like, it maybe comes down to the head-to-head. Who would you rather, a Herbie or a Val Holmes to start off with?
Jeeves, you eyeing off Val Holmes?
I'm eyeing him off, yeah. I much prefer, I just sort of made the case that I think Herbie's a must-have. I actually much prefer, I'll be definitely locking in Latrell Mitchell to start the year. I know that he was a popular pick, and looking at the numbers, people might be swayed thinking, oh, Latrell, he hasn't actually gone up that much versus last year's numbers, but that's because he was playing fullback last year. He's confirmed as a left centre, I believe, for the Bunnies to start off this year, and I expect him to be getting very involved in the attack. So I think 100-odd K or nearly 100K cheaper than Val, I'm locking in Latrell, and I just can't see a world where I'm getting Herbie, Val and Latrell in my centre wing. Like, it just completely stuffs your balance.
I got a little case against Trell, but I'll see what you guys think. It's actually the same case that I've got against Stephen Crichton, who we were going to talk about as well. With Stephen Crichton, we did see last year, he became the sweet man. He stopped actually in the second, maybe the last 8-9 games. He actually stopped being the centre who throws the last pass, and they were pushing Connor Tracy to centre, and he was being the sweet man. So he's actually potentially not going to get those last passes that you would hope him to get like he would as a traditional centre. And Tubes, I wonder if the same thing's going to happen with Latrell Mitchell. I've speculated that with South that he will get involved in a lot of sweep plays and Jai Gray will push out into centre. I just wonder if that actually might prevent him from getting as many try assists as we'd like. You're shaking your head, Tubes.
I don't think Bennett's that stupid that he'll do that. Like, I just think, well, like, don't play, get me wrong. Latrell involved. Yeah. No, I've struck a nerve there. Jeez, Jono, you don't like a pushback, do you? You gotten too used to hosting and just everyone being like, oh, I agree with everything Jono says. No. All I'm saying is I agree with the fact that Latrell will be much more involved, but I don't think that that necessarily means he'll be doing the sweeping plays as much. I think he'll be getting the ball one off the ruck. I think Jai Gray is a much better sweeping play fullback than a Connor Tracy is, and he will be still playing that role rather than being pushed out to centre. And so I actually think that it will be a good thing for Latrell, and I do think that the Bunnies will centre a lot of attack around him, but maybe just not in the same way that the sweep sort of happened.
I reckon that was the angriest I've ever got on a pod. I'm not trying to suggest that Wayne Bennett is – I don't think that Wayne Bennett is stupid. Like, I think Wayne Bennett's one of the best coaches ever, and I think it would be stupid if he didn't utilise Latrell's ball-playing skills and bring him in field sometimes. Yeah, so that's why I just had a bit of a shocked reaction.
John, I come in. I'm actually going to agree with Tubes on this one. Which is a rarity.
I'll try not to get too angry.
I don't think that's Latrell's jam, really, to be more involved, to get across different parts of the field. I think he's a guy that, say, demands the ball, but it's like, give it to me, bring it over to me. I don't think he's going to go looking for it so much. He's historically, like, he's had some, being an ultra premium Supercoach player, he has had some low scores in him as well because he just doesn't get involved in games sometimes. So I think he's going to stay on that left edge. Him and Fifita are going to have a great combo. And I think Jai Gray will still do a lot of the sweeping, particularly to the right.
Yeah, for the record, in my team, it won't be coming out, Trell. I just think it's just interesting to see because when we did our, I think, must-haves, most intriguing, one of them, I was saying a big factor for me bringing him was because I liked it. I think he'll still get his hands on the ball plenty. Anyway, we'll see. And we'll see how that pans out for Stephen Crichton as well, who at the moment has a 3.3-point difference. Danny Boy, I want to throw to you for a couple of your pods, Bradman Best and Braden Burns. No one loves Braden Burns more than you, Danny Boy. What are you thinking with these two?
Oh, he's got that Cam Munster, like, palm off, fend off. He's very hard to tackle for that first time. Herbie does it the same as well. So in terms of Supercoach stat padding, Braden Burns is right up there. Injury history is just, it hasn't been good for him. He's always getting injured. But if a fully fit Braden Burns starts the first six rounds, I think he'll be right up there in the top, I won't say top five, but definitely top 10 center wings for overall points. And I think he's going to be on the wing for the Cowboys, always a good spot. They've always got attack in them. Braden Burns is a good flyer to start the year. He will be definitely lowly owned.
What about Bradman Best, Danny?
Yeah, he's a gun. Glue hands, he's been called at times for wanting to score all the time. Probably goes back to that point of the left edge on the Knights. You've got so many options there now. So I think if I'm going to pick up a left edge, it's only one of the Knights, and Bradman Best could certainly be that just because of his price point, 100K cheaper than Dylan Lucas.
Tubes, Taylan May is one that has kind of been spoken about as a pod even before these stat changes. He had a fantastic season when he came back in for the Tigers last year. Loves playing with his brothers. He has a points differential with the new stats change of 3.5 points per game. So big case there that he's undervalued. Full preseason back under his belt with the squad. Do you think he's a good pod option at the price of 617K?
It's hard to tell. I haven't seen a vlog yet this year from him. And so I'm just not sure where his head's at, how his body's looking. So if I see that before round one, possibility that he comes into the team.
All right. Fellas, centre wing, that's a bit of a deep dive on the position. But the other ones who are kind of well-owned, I just want to quickly touch upon, we mainly focused on the centres because they're the ones with the most to kind of gain with these new stat changes. But Jacob Kittaz has had a lot of chatter about him. He hasn't been training full-time with the team, I believe, with some injury concerns. He's 746K. Tubes, could you see yourself starting with Jacob Kittaz, or is there just too much value in some of these other guys?
Too much value in some of the other guys. Also, the fact that he's had such an injury concern leading up to Vegas. I even read that there's a chance he won't be back for round one for Vegas. There's enough there that I'm a little bit scared off owning Jacob Kittaz to start the year.
Danny Boy, what about Ruben Garrick? We spoke about him a little bit in the most intriguing. If he's to get the goal kicking, he is a centre. Last year, he played a bit of a combination of some centre, some wing. He looks set to start the year as a right centre. If he has that goal kicking, which we should know, Is he an attractive proposition at his 664K?
You know, there's worse people to take a flyer on than Garrick. Like, historically, he's a great super coacher. Without DCE in the team this year, it's a little bit up in the air. We spoke about Manly have a lot of games at Four Pints to kick off the season as well. So he's the kind of guy that you can look to, you know, he's cheap enough and he's still premium. You could take a flyer. I actually really like the other centre in Toletau, Cooler. I think he's a great rugby league player. I think he should be at fullback in another team. Obviously, he's got Tommy Turbo in front of him at Manly, but he had some great stats last year. He's getting a stat increase on the new system and could be a super breakout year for him. So, yeah, I wouldn't take both of them, obviously, but could be leaning into a Manly centre.
Do you reckon there's four players at Manly you take as your Sharks fullback over your current fullback?
Probably.
Reuben Garrick?
Would
you have Reuben Garrick?
No, as your fullback? I don't think
that's where you draw the line.
Fullback, yeah. But certainly,
I wouldn't sign him. But if you ask me who lines up tomorrow if they're both in the squad, Garrick plays over Kennedy, I think, at fullback. But I wouldn't go out of your way to sign him. But you know how much we love Cooler on this pod, and shout out to signing for the Sharks in 2028, hopefully. I still don't think you can start with him from a super coach relevant point of view. It will roll into, I'm just going to segue here, Jono, for you, rolling into our fullbacks chat, but we talked about the flex. I think the three-gun fullback strategy is not on. I was just thinking about it. The way to get the extra gun in the center wing, like a Val Holmes or a Kale Iro, to go with Herbie and Latrell, like we've talked about, is to go the center wing in the flex. Like, is that something that you're considering, Jono?
Yeah, definitely. Huge consideration. It's either going to be a center wing for me or a meat and potatoes guy. It'll be one of these value players. So big consideration. And while we're at fullback, I would even go further. Dan, of these 600K plus guys, are you looking at starting any of them now with the fact that they're losing the try assist from the sweep plays? Are you looking at starting with any of the 600K plus fullbacks in your team, which would have been an unbelievable claim a week ago?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm looking at Kinney and Suafailongo, so both mid-rangers to start the season. If there was someone like an Isaiah Yongi, like last year, who was a cheapy starting fullback, I would consider trying to get one of the premium fullbacks for a hot start. But I wouldn't really, I don't think I've got the cash to kind of have one of those 500 plus guys plus going up to the likes of Turbo, Reece Walsh, Drinky. So yeah, for me, it's mid-rangers to start and then probably look to get those fullbacks when they've dropped a bit in price.
Yeah, Danny Boy, for the record, I have the exact same two fullbacks as you and my team at the moment. Tubes, what are you looking at with that fullbacks? Does it entice you to maybe start with one as a massive pod because they will drop so much?
Oh, there's so many variables with this fullback position. Even just while Dan was talking, I'm just looking at my team playing around with it. Like, I'm in a world right now where I'm thinking, do I start with Kinney because he's the out-and-out undervalued one? I'm not sure about Sua, and I know we're talking premiums, but I'm thinking wipe them all completely. And do you put a Tommy Chester as your second fullback? Go real cheap there, and then that gives you the money to spend back at those gun center wings that we were talking about as well. For the first time, you're basically going, you know, is it Turbo or KL Iro at the same price? Like, which crazy. Is a crazy conversation to think about.
It's crazy that the logical answer with the stat changes is that it's probably KL Iro because it's just a value proposition. So yeah, it is really interesting. But I think that pretty much rounds us out, fellas. That's a fantastic deep dive into the 600K plus players. Plus we've done team lists, plus we've done the stat change. It's been a bumper episode, fellas. The next podcast in your feed is going to be the Sunday Snap Tubes. You and I will be back this weekend. We've got a lot of trial matches to react to and hopefully we hear a lot of interesting information that we can make some snap reactions and change our teams. And then next week we'll be recording again. We're going to be going with a mid-rangers special. So it's going to be all those guys who you want us to talk about tonight who are just a little bit below down to about that 400K range. Danny boy, absolute pleasure, mate. As always, two pods in 1 year. We are on fire after not doing a year of pods together last year.
Yeah, cheers, Jono. Good to be back. Good to be in this snap sandwich here. I'm middle screen between the two snappers. So, yeah, no, it's good fun.
And Tubes, after a few little kind of false starts on the Sunday snap the other night, I would like you to please officially bring us home.
You beauty.
He's back.